This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, June 12th. I'm Patricia Naft. The CDC, or Center for Disease Control, is offering black lung screenings across the Southwest this summer. The agency's mobile screening unit is in Colorado this week. KVNF's Laura Palmisano has more.
Current and former coal miners are eligible to receive a free screening for coal workers' pneumoconiosis, better known as black lung disease. Black lung is an irreversible lung disease caused by the inhalation of coal mine dust. The National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, a division of the CDC, is offering the exams using its mobile unit. Anita Wolf, a public health analyst for the Institute, stresses the disease is preventable.
We have the technology, we know what causes it, we know how to prevent it, and it is preventable. So we have to really work with not just the miners, but the mine operators in making sure that dust levels are kept where they're supposed to be, that water sprays are used at the face of the mine, that the ventilation curtains are hung, and that everything is within the regulations and maybe even more than the regulations call for to keep our miners from dying from this disease.
Wolf says the confidential exams include a breathing test and chest x-ray. Jason Timbresa, who works at the Bowie Coal Mine, says he's been getting screened for the disease since he started working in the industry 20 years ago.
I would recommend that all miners, any time that the opportunity arises, to take advantage of it and get your screening done. One of the keys to any disease is early detection.
Wolf says her staff has screened over 200 people since they arrived in Colorado this week.
We detect disease before a miner even has any symptoms. We'll call them and say, you know, you have the beginning stages of simple pneumoconiosis. And they're like, well, I feel fine. And we're like, that's why we're glad you came early.
Wolf says once someone contracts black lung disease, they're stuck with it, but adds it is treatable. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
The health exam takes about half an hour. People can also be screened Friday at the King II mine near Durango. Late Tuesday night, a climber fell from El Diante in the San Miguel Mountains. 60-year-old John Rohde was climbing when a rock shifted, sending him falling and tumbling an estimated 1,600 feet. This is Sheriff Bill Masters.
Tuesday evening at about 8 p.m., we received a call reporting an injured climber on El Diante. El Diante is part of the Wilson Range. There's Wilson Peak, Mount Wilson, and El Diente. It is a nasty piece of rock, a lot of loose rock, and it is one of the over 14,000-foot peaks in Colorado. The report was that he fell approximately 1,500 to 1,700 feet and suffered multiple injuries, but he knew for certain that his leg was broken. He was climbing alone. It's pretty amazing that he survived that.
The sheriff's search and rescue team had to be helicoptered in one at a time in the dark at 1,300 feet. From there, at 13,000 feet, from there, the five-man team still had a three-hour climb in the dark to reach the victim. The climber was flown to the Telluride Airport, then transferred to the Montrose Hospital. This week, the mine rescue crew from the Bowie Coal Mine at the Delta Montrose Technical College in Paonia preparing for an upcoming competition. KVNF's Laura Palmisano reports.
Tony Wojcik, a member of the Bowie Mine Rescue Team, is participating in rescue training.
Mine rescue training is where you have a group of guys who go into a simulated problem and you basically go into this simulated field and you vent different gases, you save different people that have gotten into a situation.
Wojcik says federal regulations require mine rescue crews to compete in two rescue contests a year. He calls the competitions intense.
The prize is basically a trophy, but it's more along the lines of bragging rights. I like to think of it as a way to not only better yourself, but to prove that you can do it.
He says at the competition, crews have to finish timed tasks and are scored based on their performance. Wojcik will compete with his colleagues in a mine rescue training competition in Price, Utah next week. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
This winter's mega snowpack in the mountains is melting and filling reservoirs around the state and rivers. For whitewater rafting companies, the big flows are good for thrills, but some stretches of the river are too full to float. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin explains.
Okay, and the way we sit in the boat is side saddle, both feet inside. Longtime rafting guide Bob Morse is giving his safety spiel to a small group preparing to board a bright yellow raft. For some, it's their first time rafting.
I'm excited. Today's my 34th birthday.
Ellie Burnett is from Champaign, Illinois. She decided to celebrate on the river, but admits the high flows make her a bit nervous.
We were watching the water this morning. It's definitely moving fast, but their experience, and it looks like a ton of fun. So I am excited. And if I fall out, you know, I can swim. I got a vest.
This time of year, the commercial rafting company Whitewater Rafting LLC takes between 25 to 50 people out on the river each weekday. As the summer progresses, that number increases to up to 300 people in July. Normally, the Glenwood Springs Company runs a stretch of the Colorado River through Glenwood Canyon. But because the river's so swollen, owner Eric Larson says they've changed their route.
So we're going from, you know, as far up as Carbondale, all the way down to as far down as Newcastle for our full day trips. And that's quite a bit of mileage and way more than we usually do.
Because of high water, the company is choosing safer routes that are longer. Still, Larson says the big water makes some people nervous.
Some of our rafting guests are a little scared about it, for sure. We've had a few calls to say, is it safe? Are you even going? Should I still come? If anything, right now, our trips are actually a little more mild than they will be in July and August. The river's bigger, the waves are bigger, but it's not very technical paddling.
The flows may cause rafter anxiety, but overall, they're a good thing for an industry that typically brings well over $100 million to the state each year. David Costlow is executive director of the Colorado River Outfitters Association.
This year, I think many people anticipate the rafting will be great, and it will be, because of all the snowpack. And we've had sufficient rains on the prairie to kind of, you know, wet the soils, et cetera. So less gets absorbed into the ground and more comes down rivers or flows through rivers.
He says the heavy spring runoff happening now is earlier than normal, which is good because tourism season hasn't fully ramped up.
So we'd like to take the highs off the river and, you know, get down to exciting flows. And have those, you know, maybe by June 10th when the tourism season starts to kick in, we're ready to go.
A slow, steady runoff is preferred by rafters because it ensures good flows late in the summer.
But what if somebody falls out? You know, try not to freak out. You're not going to sink. These are actually the best life jackets you can get.
Back beside the Colorado River, raft guide Bob Morse wraps up his safety lesson, and the group's ready to float the river. The raft guiding company Whitewater Rafting LLC hopes to get rafters back on that stretch of the Colorado known as Shoshone soon, says owner Eric Larson.
We're excited to get back. It's better to be there. This is really good too, but it's very, very different. I mean, when the river is six times the size of what you've seen if you rafted with us in the last 2 years, six times as much water, it just totally changes the river landscape.
On Wednesday, the Shoshone stretch of river was flowing 16,000 cubic feet per second, more than twice the average flow.
And that's the KBNF News. I'm Patricia Naft. Stay tuned for Joanna and the Sweet Sound.